I wanted to take a few moments to share with you who I am, where I came from, and how I, as a young Jewish man, came to know Yeshua as the Messiah. And after that, I want to share with you a way that I look at the Jewish scriptures. And so we're going to go on a journey tonight, but I want to start with, you know, getting you to know me a little bit. So, Lord, thank you for your holy presence. Thank you for your anointing here tonight in Yeshua's name. Well, I grew up in Philadelphia. I got to keep my eye on the clock. I grew up in Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, in suburban, in the suburban area. All my friends were Jewish. It was a Jewish neighborhood, and just a very Jewish upbringing, not super religious, although I did go to, 2-3 years of bar mitzvah training for my bar mitzvah. And all my friends were Jewish except one Catholic friend. And I guess I had heard that this Jesus was Jewish. But whenever I went over to this Catholic friend's house and I looked at those pictures on the wall, he never did look Jewish to me, with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he looked so nice in those pictures. So I have an identical twin brother, and I had two sisters. One is with the Lord now. And so there were four of us. Again, grew up in lily white, Jewish, suburban Philadelphia. And for my bar mitzvah gift, my parents sent me on a bar mitzvah tour to Israel with hundreds of other young Jewish kids. And this was a religious tour. And it was in 1969, I'm dating myself, so it was only 2 years after the Six-Day War. And I was 13 years old in the land of Israel. Israel had just won a stunning battle. There were tanks, you know, and shrapnel from airplanes around. And I was like a kid in a candy store. And I can tell you, in Israel in 1969, that summer, my identity as a Jew was solidified, being in the Jewish nation. And so, born a Jew, die a Jew. And when I was there, again, I didn't grow up in a religious home, but this was a religious tour. All I could say is that the hand of God came upon my life there. I don't know what it was. I wasn't saved. Nothing to do with Yeshua. But I had a spiritual experience as a Jew in the land of Israel at age 13, and it was significant. Came home and, you know, entered into the teenage years, let's call it the dark days, if you will. Drugs, partying, life was a party. It was all, you know, drinking, parties, all of that stuff. And that was how I grew up as a teenager. We got into a fair bit of trouble, me and my brother. And so it was the dark days, the wild days. And in the midst of all of that, my Jewish sister accepted Jesus as her Messiah. How did that happen? She was in a park in downtown Philadelphia, and a black man came up to her, began to share the gospel with her, and something in her heart opened, and she started going to the largest black Pentecostal church in Philadelphia, Deliverance Evangelistic Church. There's 10,000 people, and there's my sister. But God knew what he was doing. They began to pray for our suburban Jewish family. And they had some of those women that never did leave church, and they would stay there and pray all night. And they were praying for our family. And well, about 1 year later, My Jewish mother, while watching the 700 Club, was struck to her knees in her bedroom. And she started going to the largest black Pentecostal church in Philadelphia. But then they heard about Congregation Beth Yeshua. Now, I didn't know all this was happening. They started going to Beth Yeshua, which is a messianic synagogue. And that's when they began to learn about the Jewish Yeshua. And they began to talk to me that they are more Jewish now than ever before. I was horrified. I was totally horrified. Mom, what are you doing? Like Paula, my sister, forget. She's over the top. But Mom, how could you do this? What are you doing? And she used to have this bumper sticker on her car. I called it the Godmobile because of the bumper sticker. You know, like, in my mind, who even read the Bible? Like, no one even reads the Bible. What is all this? So I would park close to her car so no one could see that bumper sticker. And it was only about pray for the peace of Jerusalem, something like that. But I was embarrassed and mortified by my mother until one day she invited me. And you know what? I said, all right, I'll go. And then afterwards, I'll go partying. So I went with her to Beth Yeshua. And I want to tell you what happened to me in the midst of, like, you see this? This is a messianic Jewish congregation. When I came into Beth Yeshua, messianic Jewish congregation, something happened to me that night at services. I had a flashback to I was about 20 years old. I had a flashback to my trip to Israel. And what happened to me is in Israel at age 13 suddenly happened to me at that messianic synagogue in Philadelphia. And I knew in a minute this was true biblical Judaism. It was like I was on Jewish soil. In that context, I had an immediate revelation that this was true. And I even made a profession of faith. But I want to share something with you, because the reason why I wanted to share my testimony is for you to get to know me, but there's a message in my testimony. And I think it might be relevant for some who are here tonight. Even though that night, I knew in my mind that Yeshua was the Messiah, I didn't repent. I didn't surrender. And so I knew in my mind, but in my heart I rebelled, and I entered into what I call my Jonah days. 5 years of running from the Lord. I was not saved, even though I knew that Yeshua was the Messiah. And so I entered into what I call days in which you've heard the saying, everything he touched turned to gold. You've heard that saying? Well, everything I touched turned to rust. For 5 years, everything I touched turned to rust. Nothing was working for me. God was moving. And one night I had too much to drink. I was partying. And I had a really bad car accident in which I could have been killed. I was driving. And I went up on a curb, knocked over one of those big iron street lamps. Someone could have been killed. No one was killed. No one was hurt. I don't even remember how I got home that night. But I do remember this, early the very next morning, there was a knock on my door. I stumbled out of bed. I had quite a headache, if you know what I mean. And I opened the door, and there were two people passing out pamphlets about God. And right there, I heard a voice in my heart. I don't hear voices. Jeff, you have run long enough. There may not be a next chance. That was the next day after this really bad car accident. And I knew God was calling me. And so 2 weeks later, I was out of town. I went to a non-denominational worship service. And at that service, I fully renounced my sin. I hated my sin. I repented and I received Yeshua as my Messiah. And when I did, I felt darkness go out from me. Those demons left that night and I was filled with joy. I knew that I made a connection with the God of Israel. The light was plugged in and light came into my life and I was full of joy, liquid joy, for weeks following that. I know that I connected with the God of Israel once I repented of my sins and I was saved. And I went right back to Beth Yeshua as a single man, age 25, and I was discipled there in Philadelphia, and I met my wife there. Was eventually invited to be on staff, and I worked for Rabbi David Chernoff for about 10 years until the Lord called us and our family to Toronto to start City of David Messianic Synagogue. I share that testimony, again, so you get to know me, but, you know, maybe there's someone here. You know in your mind Yeshua is the Messiah, but it's not a mind thing. It's a hard thing. And unless you repent, unless you surrender, you won't have that connection. You will not be born again. And so tonight, perhaps in a little bit, I'm going to ask you if you'd like to do that tonight. But I want to continue and share this message now with you. Again, a look at the Jewish scriptures. I love the Jewish scriptures. I want to take a look tonight at the Jewish scriptures with a certain theme in mind. And that theme is anticipation, expectation, in a word, hope. Because, brothers and sisters, there's always more with God. There's always more. We have today what we have, but there's always more with God. I think it's fitting that Israel's national anthem is entitled Hatikva, the Hope. A national anthem captures the history, tradition, and struggle of its people. Hatikva speaks of the hope of our people, not just a national hope, but a spiritual hope. And that's what I want to look at tonight, the spiritual hope of Israel. God gave to our people the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. The Torah, the prophets, and the writings are the perfect eternal word of God. Now, I got permission from Rabbi David to open this ark and look at this beautiful Torah and Haftarot here. This is the perfect and eternal word of God. Amen? It's perfect, eternal, but it's incomplete. It's incomplete. Perfect, eternal, but incomplete. They're not complete in and of themselves. And when I share this with Jewish people that I share the good news with, they're shocked to hear that. It's a shocking statement. It's perfect, but it's incomplete. It's a crucial concept because in Orthodox Judaism, you know, they almost literally worship the Torah. I once spoke with an Orthodox rabbi sharing the good news of Messiah, and we hit an impasse. And the impasse is that he elevated the Torah above all the other Word of God. And I told him, well, it's all the Word of God, but we hit this impasse. But embedded in that Torah, embedded in the writings of the prophets, embedded in the other writings in the scriptures, are clear statements pointing towards more to come. It's as if, I love this yod, it's as if there's a yod in the very scriptures pointing to more to come. And that's what I want to look at tonight. It's an example. How many like movies here? It's hard to find good ones these days, but you know, when you see a movie and when you know that towards the end of the movie, something is embedded by design to alert you that there's a sequel coming, right? You know what I mean. At the end, they make it known, they embed it by design, and you know there's a sequel coming. And that's what I see in the Jewish scriptures. So my question is, if God intended that these Jewish scriptures would be complete in themselves, why would he speak of more to come? These embedded statements in the Tanakh speak about a person who would come. And I speak to many. Most Jewish people, except the Orthodox, don't even believe in a personal Messiah anymore. They speak about a messianic age. But these embedded statements in our scriptures speak of a person who would come, not just a messianic age. And this builds right into the Jewish scriptures strong anticipation, strong expectation, and a strong hope. And so I want to take a little survey through the scriptures with you. Okay, I love doing this, and I want us to look at some of these embedded statements in the Torah. And so remember, the Torah was written about 1,500 years before the time of Yeshua. So let's look at Numbers chapter 24, and this is the prophet Balaam, Numbers 24, verse 17. I think we have the scriptures up here. I'll be reading from a little different version, but you can follow along here. This is Balaam, the Gentile prophet who stood on the mountain and looked out over the nation of Israel, having recently come out of Egypt. And the spirit of prophecy came upon him, and he said in verse 17, I see him. But not now. I behold him, but not near. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also. His enemies shall be a possession while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city. There is a yod in the hand of Balaam. He's looking out over the nation. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. There's a yod pointing forward right here in the Torah. The famous Rabbi Akiba, many years later, actually after the time of Yeshua, 132 CE, used this verse in the Torah to proclaim Shimon Bar Kosiba, the Messiah. He renamed him Bar Kochba because of the star Kochav. Bar Kochba, so he proclaimed, that Rabbi Akiba proclaimed Bar Kochba to be the Messiah, and of course, he was a false Messiah and led our people to a great devastation in the Second Roman Revolt. And so this is a yad pointing forward. 40 years after Balaam, 40 years later, after Balaam prophesied over this nation, Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy at the end of that 40-year wilderness experience. The first generation perished in the wilderness. Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy. He was discipling the second generation, ready to go into the promised land. And he took up a yad in his hand in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I know some of you are familiar with these prophecies. Deuteronomy 18. The context is Moses is reminding them about the experience at Mount Sinai 40 years earlier. And they were terrified at Mount Sinai. And the thunderings and the lightnings terrified them. And they said to Moses, "We can't bear to hear the voice of God anymore. You go up and you hear the word of God and you come and tell us the word of God." That's what they said in that first generation. And Moses is retelling that here in verse 17. Deuteronomy 18, verse 17. "And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him.'" And so here again, Moses, in the last book of the Torah, written 40 years after Egypt, there's a yad in his hand pointing forward to one like Moses who would arise. So the last book in the Torah points forward. Therefore, we conclude that though the Torah is the perfect and eternal word of God, it is not complete. There's a yad pointing forward. I love looking at it like this. When I share with our Jewish people like this, the force of the logic, it's so forceful, it's so logical, it's so clear when you look at it in this context. So let's fast forward and look at some of the embedded scriptures, the embedded statements in the writing of the prophets. Let's fast forward from the time of Moses, 700 years, to the time of Isaiah the prophet. So 700 years have now gone by, and there's a yad pointing forward. Let's see the scriptures in the days of Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 20. Here's one of those, what I call those embedded statements. Uva letzion goel, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. So Moses passes the yad down. 700 years have gone by. Isaiah takes up the yod and says, the Redeemer will come. So by the days of Isaiah, he had not yet come. And in fact, he says, look in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Again, when I share with Jewish people, sometimes they say, well, show me Yeshua in the Tanakh. All right, I turn them to this verse right here. Isaiah 62, verse 11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, be surely your hine yishach ba, yishach ba, surely your salvation, your Yeshua is coming. Is salvation a concept? Not according to Isaiah. He says, behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. Salvation is not just a concept. Salvation is a person, according to Isaiah the prophet. Then, about 170 years after the time of Isaiah, was the time of Jeremiah the prophet. He lived about 597 BC. He too spoke about one to come, Jeremiah 23. He too picks up the yod, this Jewish yod, pointing forward, more to come. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Look at the anticipation. Look at the expectation. Look at this hope that was cultivated in the nation of Israel. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David, the great King David, a branch of righteousness, Tzemach Tzadik. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, Adonai Tzidkenu. Wow! Not just any king. He bears the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord our righteousness. So in the days of Jeremiah, he had still not come. There's a yod pointing forward. About 103 years after the time of Jeremiah, in around 494 BCE, the prophet Zechariah takes up that same yod. Look in Zechariah chapter 9. He speaks more about this king that is coming. And I know you're familiar with this. Gili me'od bat Zion, hari'i bat Yerushalayim. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, here's that yod, your king is coming. They're still pointing to more to come. Zechariah now takes up that prophetic yod. He is just and having salvation. Lowly, the lowly king of Israel. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amazing. The prophetic yod. All the way through the Jewish scriptures. And that brings us to the very last of the written books of the Jewish scriptures. And that is the book of Malachi. Did you know that Malachi was the last book written in the Tanakh? Malachi is the last written book. So you would think by the time of Malachi, this coming one would have come. But what do we see in Malachi chapter 3? Malachi 3, verse 1. Again, Malachi takes up that prophetic yod and says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, Adon, whom you seek, will suddenly, he's coming suddenly to his temple." That means the temple has to be standing. "Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold," look at the yod, "behold, he's coming." Here in the last written book of the Tanakh, God was still speaking about one to come. The Tanakh literally ends with anticipation, with expectation, with hope. Jewish expectation, Jewish anticipation, Jewish hope. You know what these embedded statements remind me of? Look up here for a minute. It reminds me of a glove. It's a glove waiting for the hand to fill it up. Anticipation. This glove, why was this glove created? Why was it made? It was made for a hand to fill it up. And that's what these scriptures, anticipating the one who would fill up that glove. And then, after nearly 400 more years of silence, the new covenant begins with this very same theme. The Jewish prophet, Yochanan ben Zechariah, I prefer to call him by his Hebrew name, Yochanan ben Zechariah. Not John the Baptist, come on. What sounds better to you, John the Baptist or Yochanan ben Zechariah? It's Jewish soil. Yochanan ben Zechariah, the great prophet in the new covenant, picks up that same prophetic yod. Look at this seamless transition right into the new covenant scriptures in Luke 3. Luke 3, verse 15. "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about Yochanan, whether he was the Messiah or not, Yochanan answered, saying to all of them, 'I indeed immerse you with water, but one mightier than I is coming.'" He picks up that prophetic yod from Moses through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Malachi. Yochanan ben Zechariah picks up that yod and said, "One is coming greater than I." What a seamless transition. Same hope, same expectation, right into the new covenant scriptures. And it was the hand of this very prophet Yochanan that actually pointed to a living man among them. And he pointed with his hand and said, "Behold, behold," all the expectation, all the anticipation in that word, "behold the Lamb of God, the coming one who takes away the sin of the world." Wow. How many centuries of Jewish hope, Jewish expectation released in that, "Behold, there he is. He's among us." And then this Yeshua himself, after 2,000 years of anticipation, after 2,000 years of expectation, picks up that glove and puts his hand in that glove and says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fill it up." His hand fit perfectly in that glove. Yeshua is the Messiah. He's Tikvat Yisrael. In this verse, he's affirming all that the law and the prophets wrote. He's affirming the continuity of what was written, not separation. He's speaking of their completeness, not their destruction. He claimed to be the one whom they all pointed to. He's the star that Balaam saw. He's the prophet like Moses. He's the Goel, the Redeemer that Isaiah spoke of. His very name means salvation. Given by an angel, you shall call his name Yeshua. He's going to be the lowly one bearing salvation for the nation. He's the one that rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's the Lord of which Malachi spoke, who suddenly came to his temple. Jewish hope fulfilled in the Jewish Messiah. I'm just going to go on just for a few more minutes here because the hand had finally come, the glove was filled, but I want to share two more things with you before I close here. Even though the Messiah has come, told you at the beginning, there's always more with God. Because even though Yeshua is the Messiah, even though he fulfilled the law and the prophets, there was a yod in his hand as well. Wasn't there? Look in John chapter 16. John 16 verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you." There's more with God. There's more. Yeshua could be in only one place at one time, but now, because the Spirit of God has come, each one of us can be filled with his presence in our lives. How much greater was it for Yeshua to return that the Helper, the Spirit of God, could come and dwell in each one of us? The greatest privilege this side of heaven is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's very presence in our lives. In the same way that Yeshua filled up the law and the prophets, the Holy Spirit fills up the gospel. Fills us up. He completes the gospel work in us. And finally, there is yet still more with God, is there not? There is finally a yod in the hand of the Holy Spirit, and there's a yod in each one of our hands. And we see this in the very last book of the New Testament. In the last chapter of the last book, we see a yod pointing to heaven in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come, Lord." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, there's more to come. Surely I am coming quickly." There is more ahead. The glorified Messiah will return. Just as the prophets declared his first appearance, so the new covenant declares his coming again. There is yet still more with God. Your expectation in Messiah, your hope in God, will not disappoint you. There is yet more ahead. The former things have been fulfilled. Surely the latter things shall come to pass. The Messiah will return, and you and I will be transformed into his glorious image. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic yod. Thank you, Lord, for the truthfulness of this hope, that this hope is not a fantasy. This hope is not a fairy tale. This hope is real. It's Jewish. And it shall be fulfilled. That second hand is coming. The Messiah is coming back. And I want to pray for each and every one here tonight that you will just awaken each heart here tonight with a tremendous hope, that we would live in the realm of hope. That you would awaken this, the hope, that blessed hope, that Messiah is returning. And so I encourage you tonight to be faithful in the Lord, to be fruitful in the Lord, abounding in every good work, knowing that your work shall not be overlooked by God. Your work shall be rewarded in God. And I believe there's a great move of God coming. Hallelujah. Can I ask you to stand? I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, and then Rabbi David will come in just a moment. Lord, I just want to thank you for this wonderful time. And I shared earlier, if you're here tonight and you've had it in your mind, Yeshua is the Messiah, but you know in your heart you have not really surrendered your life. Your wife can't save you. Your husband can't save you. Only you surrendering your heart. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, if that's you tonight, that you know he's the Messiah, but you never surrendered, you've got to surrender. You must surrender. I told you what happened when I did. I don't know if that same experience, but you will experience something. If it's not tonight, you will over time. If you'd like to surrender your heart, you've never really surrendered, and you want to do it tonight, I want to ask you just to lift your hand, and I'll pray for you. If there's anyone here who wants to really surrender, thank you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Maybe Eric, would you mind just coming? I'm just going to say a brief thank you. There's a third hand. And Lord, I just want to thank you for these. And I'm really not sure. I don't want to just lead you in a prayer that is, it's more you surrendering your life, making a personal commitment to the Lord. So, Lord, I pray for these whose hands are raised here. I break every power of darkness over their minds and hearts. And I ask you right now to bring a deep surrender. You can utter your own words to God from your heart. I surrender to you, Lord, and I mean it. grant me your grace, something like that, to do this once and for all. It's like getting married. Once you step up under the chuppah, that's it. You're committed. You're married to the Messiah spiritually. So Lord, flood their lives. Bring your anointing upon them, each and every person whose hand is raised. And finally, I want to pray for anyone who needs a healing in their bodies. I want you to put your hand wherever you have a sickness or a healing need, a neck, whatever it might be. Lord, I just want to pray that your healing virtue would be released upon people here tonight. Release healing anointing, healing virtue. The healing Messiah is in our midst. We believe in your presence, Lord, and we thank you for healing your people in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi David. Thank you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai puravelecha v'kunecha Yis Adonai puravelecha V'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you go, remember, tomorrow morning, part two of the seminar, and think of someone who you need to bring who's ready to hear tomorrow's message. Bring them tomorrow. Shabbat shalom.